A lot of our wisdom comes from our mistakes. And we are so desperate to try to share our mistakes with some of our kids and say, don't do what I did. Don't have that same situation, too soon old and too late smart. I have a real interest in reading purpose statements. Whenever I read a book on church dynamics, church growth, and if there's any mention of purpose statements, that always tweaks my interest. I'm always interested in that. I came across one here that I have never read the likes of, but I love it. It's a very wise purpose statement for a church, for Christians. Here's the purpose statement of this one church. Quote, helping people discover the unexpected joy of desperate dependence on Jesus. That's wise. Helping people discover the unexpected joy of desperate dependence on Jesus. I love that phrase, desperate dependence, because you know what it does? It puts us in our place. We have so much to learn, and there's so much we don't have. We're desperate for it. And that's where wisdom literature comes in. The reason I'm approaching the topic of wisdom is as we've been going through the book of Ephesians, we come to chapter 5, it tells us not to be unwise, but to be wise, making the most of our time. And I was thinking about being wise, having wisdom. So I'm sort of going to ramble through a little bit of wisdom literature to talk about wisdom. One of the books is the book of Proverbs. It's part of the wisdom literature of the Old Testament. The verb proverb means to represent something. It comes from the Latin word proverba, pro meaning in place of, and verba meaning words. So a proverb is something in place of many words. It's a crispy little statement with a huge idea, many thoughts behind it. Someone has said that the book of Proverbs is filled with short sentences drawn from long experiences. That's a wise saying. That's a proverb. This book is filled with wise sayings drawn from long experiences. And Proverbs is one of those books that's filled with those capsulized statements. Jerry Lewis had a motto that he hung up in every dressing room that he occupied before he would go on stage. That little motto read like this. There are three things that are real. God, human folly, and laughter. Now, human folly refers basically to our foolishness and our sin. God, human folly, and laughter. And since the first two are beyond our comprehension, we must do what we can with the third. We can't solve life anyway. Let's just have a good laugh while it lasts. It's hard to go through hard life just looking for laughter. How much better it would be if we looked for wisdom and met with God and had His insights. So what is the purpose of a proverb? What's the purpose of wisdom? What is the purpose of God that we come to? The New Testament basically is all wisdom literature. The Old Testament, we refer more to just the Song of Solomon, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes as wisdom literature, basically. Well, what's the purpose of insight and of wisdom? Well, first of all, it is to get reverence and obedience to the heart. To get reverence and obedience to the heart. Now, when it says in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. And the reason I say to get reverence and obedience to the heart is because in Colossians chapter 2, verse 3, it says, in Christ, in Jesus, is hidden all the wisdom and knowledge. Ultimately, all wisdom literature is an expression of Jesus. It is to be more like Jesus, because Jesus is wisdom personified. He is the source of wisdom. It all comes from Him. To be wise is to know Jesus, and to try to learn from Jesus and be like Jesus. That's what wisdom is. That means wisdom has to lead to reverence or obedience from the heart. Otherwise, it's not wisdom. For wisdom and discipline. Is it interesting how wisdom and personal discipline go together? When you study God's Word, God's warnings, God's insights, you will receive the steps that lead to an obedient life. The big challenge that Pastor Scott has, that I have, that any pastor has when we preach, is that we preach for transformation. If we do not preach for transformation, then we only preach for information. And that is never the goal. Information is the means to transformation. It is so that my heart will engage with Jesus. And I will desire to know Him and obey Him with my life from my heart. That's the whole purpose why you are listening right now and I am sharing right now. Lord, touch my heart. Not just my head. Touch my heart. It's for transformation. The second purpose is to provide discernment. It says here in verse 2, for attaining wisdom and discipline, for understanding words of insight. Insight or discernment. Literally in the Hebrew it says, to discern the words of discernment. See, there's so much advice out there that we have to discern which advice we will listen to. To give discernment to the heart, to the eye. When King Solomon prayed in 1 Kings chapter 3, he prayed that God would give him wisdom that he might distinguish. That he might distinguish between what is right and what is wrong. Lord, I need discernment. There are so many views out there. There's so many options out there. That God wants us to take extra time to learn from Him, because we can be easily sidetracked. That's why older people tend to be wiser. They've had time to discern and distinguish between right and wrong. And sometimes that takes some time in terms of life stuff to get it right. Thirdly, it's to develop alertness in our walk. Alertness in our walk. It says in verse 3, for acquiring a disciplined and prudent life. And the word acquiring is a mobility word. It is a word that means something that's in motion. And it refers to your walk. A walk of discernment, of discipline. Same word used in Psalm 78 when it says that God chose David, His servant, and took him from the sheep pens to be a shepherd. There's a mobility where He took him and He walked him to a different calling. It is to walk smart. So that, it says in verse 3, doing what is right and just and fair. The moment you leave your house and you enter our world, you will face spiritual ignorance, spiritual callousness, spiritual confusion. And we have to discern, we have to be alert how we will walk through the landmines of our culture. To walk smartly in life. How to just keep trucking for Jesus. There's a fourth purpose for this wisdom, these insights, this word. It is to establish discretion and purpose in our lives. Look at verse 4. For giving prudence to the simple, knowledge and discretion to the young. Now it talks about giving prudence to the simple. The word simple means to be wide open to everything. And boy, aren't we seeing that today. People are wide open to everything. Accept what is true. We use the word gullible. To be naive. It's the same word used in verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you, it's the same word. They try to get you to be open to everything. Ah, come on, just be open-minded. I mean, who doesn't want to be open-minded? Just consider it. Think about it. Why be so narrow? Our world doesn't get it. That's why it says, we're giving prudence to the simple. What does prudence mean? That doesn't sound like something I want. Who wants to be a prude? Well, the word prudence means to strip or make naked. That doesn't help me very much. So what really is the meaning behind that phrase? The meaning in Hebrew is this. It means to go down to the basic or bare facts of things. Do you really understand the very core of what this is really all about? Oh, it's just this. Oh, no, no. When you're a Christian, you have wisdom. You can look a lot deeper and you go, no, I know where this is coming from, or I know where this is going. Our wisdom sends red lights right away and go, I can't go there, can't go there, because I can look a lot deeper and I can see where this might head to. And our wisdom says, whoa, I can see beneath the surface. On the surface, it just looks like this. But underneath it, here's what's really behind all of this. And that's what it means. That's where wisdom comes in. And some people say, so why do you have such strong feelings about this? It's not that bad. But as Christians we go, but you know what? When I think deeper about this kind of stuff, I get some real concerns. And I don't think this is such a good idea. Wisdom does that. It sees below and it has discretion. The reason we have this wisdom is for giving prudence or a deeper understanding to those who are wide open to everything. To give knowledge and discretion to the young. The word for discretion is actually the word purpose. I feel really sorry for young adults in their mid-20s who still don't know what they want to do. So, what are your plans for down the road? I don't know. I just don't seem to know what I want to do in life. But sometimes they're already in their mid-20s and they just go, I don't know. I guess I'll just keep working and try to find myself. There's an amazing amount of people who are aimless. They are aimless in life. And the Bible says that when I spend time in here, God helps me to see a little bit deeper. And suddenly I start to realize who I am in Jesus and what He wants me to do, what He wants me to be, and who I am in Him. It takes care of aimlessness. This actually gives me direction and purpose. When our daughter was dating Rob, who became her husband, it may have been even after they were married, we had a really important discussion. He's a young man in his early 20s, and he just had no clue what he wanted to do in life. Well, as an in-law, you're really concerned. You're supposed to take care of my daughter. I want a man who's going to look after her. So we had a discussion around our kitchen table. I'll never forget the time. And my wife and I were really burdened. And we weren't negative. He was just searching. He just seemed a bit aimless. We have prayed about this and said, you know, we need to speak into his life. It seems like nobody's coming alongside and speaking into his life. So finally, as the in-law, I had this really important time around our kitchen table. And I tried to identify what are your interests, where are your strengths, what gets you excited. Well, he had a few ideas. And so we tried to identify, write them down, say, okay, here are some of the things that could interest you. Okay, why does this interest you? Okay, write them all down. How would this bring out the best in you? Every conceivable way we tried to come at and try to give some wisdom. Finally, we nailed it down to two occupations. Well, I could see right away, based on those last two options we finally came to, inside me, I knew right away where he needed to go. So I told him. I said, both are good. But I said, when you're 50 years old, do you still want to do this other thing? He said, no. When I'm 50, I don't want to be doing something like that. Now I'm young and strong and I could do it, but later on I wouldn't be able to. I said, would you be able to do it this other occupation? Oh, yeah. Could you see yourself enjoying yourself in this? Oh, yeah. And as we started to talk, you could just see his mind turning. And we just gave him some things to think about. And it was very shortly after that, it became very clear to him the way he was to go. And he ended up going to, is it Vermilion, where the fire school is? And today he is a firefighter in a military base at Suffield outside of Medicine Hat. But it all started because he was aimless and he was looking for direction. Well, someone please give me some wisdom. There are many of you in this room. You are still in a place to come alongside someone and give them some wisdom. Give them some insight. Give them some encouragement. Keep them going. Help them find their purpose. There's a lot of you here that can still do that. Please do it. There are people out there who need your insight, who need your wisdom. Because it gives direction to people. It helps them find their purpose. It helps them to aim at the right targets for their lives. This book takes away your aimlessness. And I found my purpose, first of all, in Jeremiah chapter 1. And as a younger guy, I came across it. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Ah, sovereign Lord, I said, I don't know how to speak. I'm only a child. And the Lord said to me, do not say, I am only a child. You must go everywhere I send you and say whatever I command you. Do not be afraid for them, for I am with you and will rescue you, declares the Lord. And the Lord reached out his hand, touched my mouth, and said, "Now I have put my words in your mouth." Those scriptures gripped me so much as a teenager. I felt a call on my life based on those verses. But because I wasn't a Christian, even though I was raised in a Christian home, went to church and Sunday school, exposed to the Word was starting to work in me. And I resisted it, and I resisted it for years. Even while in Bible school, I still wasn't a Christian. I was resisting this call. But I knew there was a call. And it came from here. This gave me purpose. It took away my aimlessness. There was only one big struggle yet. That was obedience. I had to obey to it. We need to spend time in here. Get that direction from God. One more thing that God's Word is supposed to do. All this wisdom that's in here. Not just from Proverbs, but from all God's Word, especially the New Testament, which to me is basically all wisdom literature. It's to cultivate a keen mind. To cultivate a keen mind. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse 5 and 6. Let the wise listen and add it to their learning. Let the discerning get guidance for understanding proverbs and parables, the sayings and the riddles of the wise. Discerning and understanding. I find that as I read Scripture, it makes my mind more keen and alert. Here's what I mean. If all you do is come to church, listen to a sermon, during the week turn to a Christian station, listen to Charles Stanley, listen to Leon, listen to a few more religious programs, if that's all you do, you will have a lazy mind. You will just be spoon-fed. Ah, here I am, Pastor. Ah. Ah. That's good. That's good. Burp. Okay. Church is over. Okay, well, here we go. You're going to get a lazy mind. It's when you start to read yourself, you start to engage with it, that your mind has to think. You go, whoa, what does that mean? There's nobody to tell you. So now you have to think. Now you have to cross-reference. Now you have to ask God for wisdom. Now God has you where He wants you. He's engaging your mind. And your mind will get keener. And you will begin to engage with God. He will begin to reveal His direction more about Himself to you. And you will grow. And you will find direction and purpose. All because reading it for yourself makes your mind alert and keen. That's why I urge you, don't just get your spiritual food from the preacher or from TV. Open the Bible for yourself. I have time to look at it, but boy, if you look at Psalm 119, where the writer says, I'm wiser than all my elders. Says, I'm just so smart. Well, why? Because as I meditate on your law day and night, I engage. I get engaged with it. That is so important. That we get engaged with God through His Word. The result, when we are into the wisdom and the Word of God, is this. Proverbs 1, verse 7 to 9. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, and fools despise wisdom and discipline. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. Now, do not forsake your mother's teaching. They'll be a garland to grace your head and a chain to adorn your neck. Between what you get from the Lord and others, He says, it will make a beautiful life for you. Your life will change. You will actually change in a moment. I'm going to refer to a scripture that's going to bring out some evidence that we are engaging with wisdom, with God's Word, and that we are actually engaging with God and what He wants us to be. So, let me just take some time for application. We've got a little bit of time here. What is it about today's message God wants me to take home? I have five thoughts here. Number one, don't mistake wisdom for intelligence, knowledge, or smartness. People who are intelligent, knowledgeable, and smart aren't necessarily wise. You got to know the difference. There are a lot of intelligent people who've made some foolish decisions that have destroyed their marriages, that have destroyed their finances, that have destroyed their morals. They're very smart people. But they made some very poor moral choices. There was no wisdom there. There's an incredibly smart people out there. Just to show you how dumb I am. I hate Rubik's Cubes. Those Rubik's Cubes things. My mind just does not engage with that. That's not me. That's all. First of all, why I'm not a mechanic or anything like that. Just anything like that, it's way beyond me. I can twist and turn, and pretty soon I'm twisted and turned. Rubik's Cubes and me don't go together very well. There is a kid in Holland whose average time to solve a Rubik's Cube is 5.4 seconds. It's... There it is. Yeah. Whoa. What a smart kid. Doesn't mean he's wise. He's just smart. Doesn't mean he's wise. There's a lot of very intelligent people that have written books, but their lives were so messed up they committed suicide. One example is Ernest Hemingway, raised in a godly Christian home. His mother would write him letters warning him, "You are leaving your Savior, Jesus Christ. You are leaving the truth." She tried, kept warning him. And he had no interest in truth. So Ernest Hemingway went from one marriage to another. Many times tried to commit suicide till it finally was successful. He did commit suicide. Very philosophical. In a sense, a very smart person. But not wise. Not wise. Didn't have the insights from above how to live and engage with life in a meaningful, purposeful way. Secondly, wisdom is meant to clarify God for you. The purpose we have in all of this is to help us understand God. It's not to get smarter. It's to get to know Him better. It's to get to know Jesus. That's the whole purpose of this. Is it transforming me? That's the whole point. Is it transforming me? Is it engaging my purpose? Is it engaging my desires? Is it putting Jesus on the throne of my life? Who is wisdom personified? Always remember, anytime you read this, it's about, Lord, how do you want to change my life? What are you saying about my heart, my life, my purpose, my walk? That's the whole purpose. To bring reverence and obedience to the heart. Through the channel of knowledge and obedience. Thirdly, wisdom speaks to every area of your life. Let me explain. If you have a marriage problem, you don't actually have a marriage problem. You have a wisdom problem. If you have a finance problem, you don't actually have a problem with finances. You have a problem with wisdom. If you have a problem with relationships, the problem isn't so much with the relationships. The problem is you aren't walking in wisdom. It always boils down to wisdom. Do I have the insight from God how to respond His way? Because if I do, I will always come out successful. Now, by successful, I don't mean it'll always come my way. But my heart will always come to grips with what God is trying to do. Every area of your life is a wisdom issue. Now, my wife and I were just talking about it this morning. She said, you know, every time you open your mouth, you're this far away from disaster. All you gotta do is open your mouth. You just got to, it's so easy to say one wrong thing and boom, you create a disaster. It is an ongoing thing no matter where you are. You gotta go and you're that close to saying something stupid or offending someone. It's just, whoa, that's scary. Maybe that's why the Bible says I'm supposed to be slow to speak and swift to hear. I have a dinner assignment for you today. I want everyone to do this assignment today, everyone. And you have no excuse not to do it. Even if you are sitting at a restaurant and you're sitting with another couple or two or person, you can have this meaningful dialogue in a restaurant today at your table. Here is my assignment for you. Share with others some wisdom statement or a wisdom somebody else has given you in life. It'll make for an interesting conversation and a very healthy conversation. Would you do that today? Here are a few that have happened in my life. Early on when I was in Medicine Hat, one of my good friends who was the pastor of the Pentecostal Church, First Assembly of Medicine Hat, and a very successful businessman. That businessman had taken him aside and said, Dave, let me give you some wisdom. And that was this. Never be afraid to surround yourself with people better than yourself. He said, that's how I became a successful businessman. And Dave just latched on to that. And he shared that with me. And I thought about that so often. Never be afraid to surround yourself with people better than yourselves. See, some people are intimidated. They just like to dumb down people and just stay on top of everybody. But that's not how life works. You're never the smartest person in a room. So embrace it as the gifts of God, the people God has put in you. That is a wisdom statement that has been given to me. I have hung on to. Here's another wisdom thing that happened to me. I've shared this with you before. It happened a little while before I came here. I was either 55 or 56 years old. George Munchinski, who was pastor of the Olds Church, Baptist Church at Olds, came to visit a relative in Medicine Hat, called me up and said, can I have coffee with you? Yeah, great. Wow, George, this wise George. Wow. Okay, we had coffee. In the course of our conversation, he said, so how old are you? And I was either 55 or 56. So what are your plans? I don't know. Life's going good. Maybe stay here till I'm 60. And then maybe have a last church the last few years of my life and then retire. He just kind of looked at me as if, what space are you from? He says, can I give you some advice? I didn't know I'd said anything wrong. So let me give you some advice. He said, if you wait till you're 60 years old, no church will ever hire you. you're already in your 60s. A church doesn't want to start with somebody who's already in the 60s because they know they won't have you long. So he said, you'll never get a church. Really? I never thought about that. And I started to think, oh, wow. If I want to have one more church before I retire, I better start making a change pretty soon. And that got my wheels in motion. And within the next year, guess where I was candidating? In Claire's home. But God used George to say, Art, what you're thinking isn't wise. Here's what you should be thinking. Now, maybe for some people that would have been a wise thing for them. I don't know. But God used him to speak into my life, give me some wisdom, wake me up and say, Art, whoa. I got something I want to do in directing your life. And that wisdom from him changed my course in Medicine Hat and brought me here. One more thing. When I was a young pastor, fairly newly married, Rachel's parents had a real concern. I didn't know it. I only found out about it later. They thought I was far too cocky as a young pastor. I came from Providence Seminary. I thought I was a good preacher. I thought I had good people skills. I just thought I was a bit of a gift to the church. And they looked at my heart, my attitude, and they thought, it stinks. And they started praying to God, God, please break Art. God did. I was only a senior pastor for a year and a half, and I had my breakdown. And God totally had to break me and reshape me to have a heart that's more yielded and open to the ways of Jesus. I was too arrogant. Man, I had far more answers then than I have now. I was far more dogmatic then than I am now. I just knew it all. You know what wisdom is? Wisdom is what you learn after you know it all. I'll say it again. Wisdom is what you learn after you know it all. It's that kind of stuff where God says, okay, let's get beyond this surface selfish stuff here. It's time you learn from others. It's time you actually get some seasoned wisdom here. And that has taken, and I am still on a journey of trying to acquire wisdom. Make this your dinner conversation today, but some of the wisdom you've learned from others. And maybe someone else will learn from the wisdom that you'll share, that you receive from someone else. I said that wisdom speaks to every area of your life. You know, the Bible has warnings usually about two different things. Usually it warns about sin, or it warns about folly or foolishness. And folly or foolishness, if it's not kept in check, will lead to sin. So God always says, beware of sin, beware of foolishness. Our daughter in high school asked if she could go to a dance. Okay. The high school she went to had a really good reputation, and we were okay with her going to the dance at that high school. There was another high school, and I won't mention it over there because this is being recorded, but there was another high school that was known where the dances were very sensual, and it was not a healthy atmosphere. I went to check it out. I went to a Friday night dance at that high school, and I stepped in, I walked in, and I just could not believe the stuff going on the dance floor. And I thought, this is not a healthy place for my daughter. The other high school was okay, but not this one. She insisted she had to go because some of her other friends were going there, and she had heard about these dances. And going, oh, So as parents, what do? I couldn't pull out a sin card and say, thou shalt not dance, it is sin. I couldn't pull the sin card. So we pray like crazy. We go, okay, but is it wise? It's not a matter of is it sin, but is it wise for this situation? Oh, Dad, I'll be okay. Okay? Well, that evening, we are in prayer. Well, I said just a minute ago, folly or foolishness is a preamble to sin. It can lead to sin. Well, that night, we caught her in a lie. Because once you step in and you get into it, and then you get invited for something else, and next thing we go, so where were you after? Or how did you get home? And whoops, the story wasn't true at all. We caught her right into it. She realized right away we had caught her in a lie. But the whole point was this. And she admitted afterwards. She says, Dad, I can't go back there. Wouldn't be a wise thing. And I think there's something that we can pass on to our children is to address the question. We can't always pull out the sin card about music, movies, activities. We can't pull out the sin card quite often. But if we can pull out the wisdom card and we say, but would it be wise? What will this do for your walk with Jesus? What will this do in how people see you? Is it wise? That's why in Ephesians 5 it talks about to walk wisely and be filled with the Spirit. Let's leave that with our kids. Is it wise? Is it wise? Because that's the question we want them to ask through all of life. Fourth, wisdom creates a positive climate. It says in Ecclesiastes 8, verse 1, a person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. Isn't that awesome? A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. I like what Robert Louis Stevenson said, that when a happy person comes into a room, it's as if another candle has been lighted. A person who's wise, who through that wisdom has contentment with God, who has found their purpose, who they are, has a certain joy about them, and it is reflected in their faces. A person's wisdom brightens their face and changes its hard appearance. And lastly, be bold. Be bold in asking God for wisdom. The Bible is very clear. I close with this verse. James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God who gives generously to all without finding fault or without criticizing. And it will be given you. When I come to God and I ask God for insight, God, give me direction in this. He never says, oh, is that you again? You mean you haven't gotten it yet? You mean you've got to start over again? He says, oh, I won't criticize you for coming back and starting over with me and asking for more insight. Because sometimes we have to make more than one mistake to learn a lesson. And God knows that. And He is willing to work with us to give us wisdom. Insights for healthy living. So I close with this thought. True wisdom realizes that praying to God is not like going to the principal's office. When you are in trouble, you need a friend, not a judge. Come to God. Ask Him to give you wisdom, to give you the insight, to give you direction, to put people in your lives with wisdom, with insight, to direct you to a scripture. In fact, I just remember early this week, Mitchell got a call from someone. A person had a dilemma. And it just so happened, we were going through 1 Peter together in our morning devotions, it just so happened she had read the most appropriate verse that morning. Later that day, when that person phoned and said, I need some advice. Well, on her own, I don't know what she would have said, but because she had been in the Word of God, she said, well, isn't that interesting? Could I read you the verse I just read this morning? And that person said, that is exactly what I needed to hear today. Why? This is where we get our insight for daily, healthy living. Enjoy your dinner conversations as you talk about the wisdom you've learned from other people. Let's stand and pray together. We're reminded that your word is living and active. And that's because it's your word and you are living and active. Thank you that all wisdom leads to Jesus. It's a reflection of what Jesus is like. And it helps us to live for Him and to live like Him. And so today, Lord, we're just asking that you will again help us to see Jesus in the Scriptures and ask Him to reveal more of Himself to us through the wisdom of people, God's people, through your Word, your promptings of your Holy Spirit. Thank you for the many life lessons that have been learned by people in this room. God, give them direction to know who to share these lessons, these insights with. We could all learn from them. So I pray that you will honor and bless our table conversations today as we talk about how we can live better for you with your wisdom and your insight. Guide us all. Go before us that we may walk in obedience and surrender to your word and your promptings this week. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.